I want to talk about this growing tension between the United States and China, all leading to what a lot of people believe will be an actual conflict between the United States and China. But as I've pointed out many times before, in videos spanning several years and articles spanning an even wider period of time, the United States has already been in a proxy war with China, killing Chinese people both inside of China and along its periphery for years and years. And in one of these places that the United States has been doing this has been in Xinjiang, China, Western China. And they've been doing it through terrorists, radicalized in part with the help of Saudi Arabia and Turkey, years ago when they were much closer allies, and this continues to this day. However, China did manage to improve the security situation in Xinjiang, and so these terrorist organizations now operate elsewhere, including in Afghanistan. And people may or may not realize this, but Afghanistan actually borders in along a certain section of its border with China and the Xinjiang region. It's very important to understand that. Now, I want to talk about one of these terrorist organizations that the United States uses to target Chinese people, both inside China and along China's periphery. It's the East Turkestan Islamic Movement, ETIM. And believe it or not, it was delisted by the U.S. government. This is Voice of America, U.S. government-funded media. U.S. removes anti-China militant group from terror list. This was November 2020. So it was a few years ago. The United States has revoked the terror designation of a separatist Chinese group that allegedly operates out of Afghanistan and claims to be fighting for the rights of China's Muslim minority Uyghurs. I hereby revoke the designation of the Eastern Turkestan Islamic Movement, also known as ETIM, as a terrorist organization, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said in a brief October 20th directive published on Thursday. And as you can see, it is very brief, and there's no explanation given as to why it was removed. Usually, the United States will at least claim that when it removes one of these terrorist organizations from these kind of lists, it's because it's either no longer a terrorist organization or it no longer exists. But ETIM is neither. And to prove it, I want to show you this interview conducted by a UK-based anti-terror organization, the think tank, you could say, and they interviewed the deputy leader of ETIM. This was just this month, which is why I'm covering it, even though the US delisted them a couple of years ago. So this is the interview, TIP in their own words. And as you will see, TIP is a synonym for ETIM. It is the same organization, two different names. An interview with Abdul Salam at Turkestani, deputy leader of Turkestan Islamic Party. And this is an organization called the Islamic Theology of Counterterrorism. Islamic Theology of Counterterrorism is a UK-based counter-Islamist terrorism think tank. If you look at some of the people in the organization, they're linked to the British government. They're linked to the Israeli government. So this is not some random organization. The first question in this interview is, can you tell us something about your organization ideology and why it transferred from East Turkestan Islamic Movement to the Islamic Party? According to the U.S. government, ETIM and TIP are two separate organizations. What do you have to say regarding this? So he answers it, and this is part of his answer. He says, I affirm here that ours is the first group established to revive the East Turkestan issue with the use of force and weapons. Such countries call our organization the Islamic Movement of East Turkestan. The East Turkestan Islamic Movement. Please note that we are not discussing two separate organizations. Rather, these are two names for the same organization. But I want to get back to this part where he says, ours is the first group established to revive the East Turkestan issue with the use of force and weapons. Go back to the think tank's website and look at this right here. In the header of this webpage about us. And it says, it's the definition of terrorism, the use of violence and threats to intimidate or coerce, especially for political purposes. So this deputy leader of ETIM is literally giving the textbook definition of terrorism when he explains what his organization does. It is a terrorist organization using violence to revive what he calls the East Turkestan issue. What this is separatism. These are people, there is no such thing as East Turkestan, does not exist. Xinjiang, the territory they consider East Turkestan, is internationally recognized as part of China as the Xinjiang region in Western China. So this is a violent separatist movement. It wants to carve off Xinjiang into an independent entity called East Turkestan. Now, I pointed out that the U.S. has delisted ETIM, despite the deputy leader publicly verifying that his organization is a terrorist organization, that they are using armed violence to pursue their political objectives. So why would the U.S. delist what is clearly, self-admittedly, a terrorist organization? This is not Beijing claiming this. This is the organization itself admitting this. Why would they do this? This is from Newsweek. This is from just last month. And it says, amid U.S.-China resource race, ISIS makes Afghan mines hard to reach for Xi. How convenient. How convenient. Just like ISIS in Syria was assisting the U.S. in regime change against the government in Damascus. It's almost as if the U.S. is using these terrorist groups, not fighting them. This is what the Newsweek article says. The fallout from the chaotic U.S. exit from Afghanistan and the return of Taliban rule has dealt yet another blow to President Joe Biden's administration, this time in the form of increased Chinese investment in the neighboring Islamic Emirate, a country rich in highly sought-after natural resources. But as Beijing and Washington intensify their competition in the market of lucrative and often rare elements, a growing campaign by the Islamic State militant group, ISIS, to target Chinese interests in Afghanistan may prove a spoiler for Beijing's interests in Afghanistan's mineral wealth, a treasure trove potentially worth trillions. The United States fails in Afghanistan, a 20-year occupation predicated mostly on just military force, a corrupt reconstruction process which achieved absolutely nothing after two decades. That is all a failure. The U.S. withdraws, and then China comes in, and China does what it does everywhere. It starts investing, doing business, building infrastructure that the people living in Afghanistan can use to extract that wealth and sell it to nations willing to buy it, including and especially China. So who comes to the rescue? ISIS and ETIM. This is what it says. ISIS, which refers to Afghanistan as part of its Khorasan province, leading its branch to be commonly referred to as ISIS-K or ISKP, has ramped up anti-China messaging in its official media outlets in recent months. The militants have specifically amplified allegations that Beijing is conducting mass atrocities against the majority Muslim Uyghur ethnic group in China's northwest province of Xinjiang. Now, this is a complete fiction, and in other videos, I have gone through these claims, which originate where? Which originate in the U.S. State Department. And I'm going to put a link to several videos that I've done going over the evidence regarding these fabricated claims about what China is supposedly doing in Xinjiang to the Uyghur population. But isn't it interesting how these terrorists who are physically fighting with weapons, China's presence in Afghanistan, that they would be citing almost verbatim U.S. State Department talking points. It goes on and it says, another lengthy Voice of Khorasan article published in recent weeks borrowed tweets and statements, including those of former U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, under whose direction the U.S. first designated China's treatment of its Uyghur community a genocide, but otherwise appeared to be an original publication. So then now they're just admitting that all these terrorists in Afghanistan are doing is taking U.S. talking points and adding the element of armed terrorism to it. The piece called directly for the mobilization of Uyghurs, calling on them to wage holy war across East Turkestan, the name used by separatists to refer to Xinjiang, and to reject the impure goal of establishing an independent democratic republic in favor of an Islamist entity pledging allegiance to ISIS. And this East Turkestan, you're going to see all of these supposed human rights organizations involved with the U.S. State Department making these claims about supposed genocide in Xinjiang. You will all see them waving the separatist East Turkestan flag, because they are not actually rights groups. They are separatist groups masquerading as right groups. They're using rights advocacy as a smokescreen to advance their separatist agenda. And we can look at organizations like this, the World Uyghur Congress, About Who We Are. It says the World Uyghur Congress is an international organization that represents the collective interests of the Uyghur people, both in East Turkestan and abroad. So they actually use this term, East Turkestan. They do not refer to it as Xinjiang. It refers to itself as an opposition movement against Chinese occupation of East Turkestan. Now, what if I told you that the World Uyghur Congress, openly a separatist organization, is funded by the U.S. government through the National Endowment for Democracy? The NED's official website, Uyghur Human Rights Policy Act, builds on work of NED grantees. So these are organizations receiving money from the National Endowment for Democracy, a U.S. government-funded organization, and they list them down here, and it includes the World Uyghur Congress. They're also the recipient of the 2019 Democracy Award. So that is not just U.S. government giving them money, but also giving them the illusion of political legitimacy. They get these awards. How could they get these awards unless they were legitimate? And this is for the public's consumption. So you have these terrorists in Afghanistan talking about East Turkestan. You have U.S. government-funded political organizations claiming to do human rights advocacy, but clearly separatist groups. They also refer to Xinjiang as East Turkestan, as Chinese-occupied East Turkestan. All of this is part of the process by the U.S. to support this whole agenda politically and also on the ground with these armed terrorist organizations. Now, the Newsweek article talks about ISIS threatening China. It says ISIS-K has demonstrated its ability to carry out such attacks, most notably in December when the group claimed responsibility for a deadly attack on a hotel in Kabul. It said two soldiers of the self-styled caliphate targeted diplomats and businessmen from communist China. The threat remains, according to a report published earlier this month by the United Nations Security Council, which stated that in addition to the hotel attack, ISIS has threatened to launch terrorist attacks against the embassies of China, India, and the Islamic Republic of Iran in Afghanistan. And then the Newsweek article admits that ETIM is working with ISIS. Remember, ETIM is delisted as a terrorist organization by the U.S., and yet this is Newsweek, a U.S. news publication, admitting that ETIM is right now working with ISIS. It says, the report also noted another troubling trend for China, cooperation between ISIS and the Turkestan Islamic Party, TIP, also known as the East Turkestan Islamic Movement, ETIM. Again, just as the deputy commander said, it is the same organization. TIP and ETIM is the same organization. This allegation, noted by an unnamed member state, included jointly published Uyghur language propaganda posters, the exchange of personnel, military advice, and planned joint operations such as the East Turkestan Islamic Movement, sending members to join the operational unit of Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, Khorasan, responsible for tracking and carrying out attacks against Chinese nationals. So this is a terrorist organization killing Chinese nationals that was on the U.S. Terrorist list that was delisted. And the purpose of delisting it is to make it possible for other organizations and nations to support them, to provide material support. If they are not considered by the U.S. a terrorist organization, they can provide support, even though they most certainly are terrorists right here, the Newsweek article is admitting they're not just terrorists, they're working with ISIS. And because I'm based in Thailand, I think this is important to point out. In 2015, there was a bombing in downtown Bangkok that killed 20 people. It says there is little open source evidence that the group has successfully orchestrated attacks in Xinjiang, but there have been reports that the group was allegedly involved beyond its operational presence in Syria in terror plots such as the 2015 Erawan Shrine bombing in Pathumwan District, Bangkok, Thailand, a suicide attack on the Chinese embassy in Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan, on August 30th, 2016, and New Year's Eve Istanbul nightclub attack. So it's a vicious terrorist organization, but it's killing Chinese people, so the U.S. wants to support it. That is basically what I'm getting at here. So ETIM is involved in all of these terrorist attacks, past and present, according to Newsweek. And yet the United States has delisted ETIM, and it remains unlisted by the U.S. government. In essence, what the U.S. is doing by delisting it is approving of its terrorist activities. It is killing Chinese nationals, and the U.S. approves of that. And not only is it approval of this terrorism against Chinese nationals around the globe, it is also making it easier for ETIM to receive material support. So the United States is literally funding separatist groups like World Uyghur Congress, political groups, and they are also administratively freeing up ETIM, an armed terrorist group, to receive further support to carry out its terrorism. So this, in reality, constitutes a proxy war. The U.S. is already well underway waging against China, killing Chinese citizens around the globe. This is just one example. In Baluchistan, the U.S. is cultivating other armed separatist groups who regularly attack Chinese nationals, attempt to attack infrastructure projects worked on by both China and Pakistan. And so what we see is a global war on China waged by proxy by the United States. And I think it's very important that people are aware of this, that we're not talking about an upcoming war between the U.S. and China. The U.S. is already waging war on China by proxy. What we're talking about is that proxy war expanding into a direct military confrontation between the U.S. itself and Chinese troops. If you thought this video was useful, please like and share. Think about subscribing. It's free to do. It helps the channel grow. Check the video description below for all of the links that I reference in this video, as well as for ways you can find other places you can find and follow my work. There are also ways in the video description below to help support my work. I don't monetize my YouTube channel. If an ad pops up, feel free to skip it because it is not helping me out at all. If you do want to help support my work, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee and also Patreon. To everyone who has been helping out, thank you so much. That is what makes this work possible. And as always, thank you for watching.